Welcome to Bearing Light, a podcast of the Georgia Bulletin, news source of the Catholic Archdiocese of Atlanta. I'm Nicole Golden, editor of the Georgia Bulletin. And joining us co-host today is reporter Andrew Nelson. Our guests are Jenny Miles, manager of planning and research and leader of the Archdiocesan Synod Outreach Team, and Maureen Smith, chief communications officer for the Archdiocese and team member, sharing their experiences participating in the Jubilee of Synodal Teams in late October at the Vatican.
Well, thank you so much for inviting us to be here. We're happy to be here.
Thanks for being here. Appreciate it. For folks who haven't had the pleasure of meeting you, maybe you could introduce yourselves. Tell us a little bit about who you are, maybe where you worship, and one thing that people might not know about you that might surprise you. Jenny, why don't you start?
Yeah, so I am a parishioner at Holy Cross. I've been working for the Archdiocese for 15 years. And so a lot of people wonder, you know, what is planning and research? So I pulled together geodemographic data. I analyze trends at parishes, and I do some mapping using some GIS software. And something that people might not expect about me is that I went to Catholic schools in Atlanta. I grew up here. I went to Immaculate Heart of Mary and graduated from St. Pius.
I did not know that you were Atlanta raised.
Yep. No, I didn't know that either.
Born and raised.
So I call you the numbers girl, lady.
Yes.
Yes,
I love my
and
job.
I'm the word girl.
I love numbers.
Yes. It's like a foreign language to me, and I have much respect for what you do. Yeah. But then Maureen?
I am also an Atlanta native. My little funny quirk is that I went to Catholic school here and I went to Catholic school for college. So I went to Catholic school all the way through my master's degree. I'm a parishioner at St. Thomas More, where I went to elementary school. And my father was a deacon here in the Archdiocese for 25 years at the Basilica of the Sacred Heart, even before it was a basilica. So I moved away for many years to go to college and then came home and was delighted to sort of stumble into my role here in communications. But I really, like Jenny, I love my job.
That's awesome that I didn't realize that you went to school at St. Thomas More. And you also worship there now. That's really cool. Is the building new, or is it the same building that you attended school?
So the building where I attended school is still there and is used as part of the school, They've built a new middle school.
Yeah.
So the classrooms that used to be above the church sanctuary are now in their own building.
That's cool. That's great.
Full circle.
That's great. So we're going to talk about the synod on synodality. With the two of you. So why don't we just start with you, Jenny, a little bit. Give us kind of the overview on the synod here in the Archdiocese, what it is or was, how many people took part, kind of key takeaways for
folks. Sure, I'd be happy to. So officially, the Synod on Synodality is called For Synodal Church, Communion, Participation, Mission. And the ultimate purpose is to help the church become more synodal and to discern the best way to further the mission of the church. So practically, Pope Francis launched the Synod in 2021 as a method to help us learn and practice and experience synodality. So what that meant was that in 2022, we did a first round of consultations here in the diocese. We had listening sessions at parishes, at different organizations. We had some regional sessions where we invited deaneries and or people that like priests or nuns. We had a virtual session, and we also had a survey. So at our listening sessions, we had about 12,000 people participate, and over 7,000 responded to our survey. So all of that input and feedback was collated into a report in the summer of 2022. Maureen was fantastic at helping with writing that. As Nicole said, I'm the numbers girl. So, so all the numbers in there, you can see I did. And so then those results were sent up through the national, the continental, and all the way up to the Vatican for the first Synod of Bishops in October of 2023. And then we had kind of a year of reflection, and we did additional listening sessions where we sort of had this reciprocity with the Vatican. And then there was a second report that we did then in 2023. And then in, no, that was in 2024, excuse me. We did the report in 2024, and then that went up to the Synod of Bishops in 2024. So there was a final document, and the implementation plan was released this summer. So we're now entering in an implementation phase. So we're going to have 3 years of that. So we're going to have evaluation assemblies in 2027. And we're going to have them at the diocesan, the national, and the continental levels. And it will culminate in an ecclesial assembly in October of 2028. So that, but kind of as we're going to see as we go through this interview, synodality isn't over. You're not going to stop hearing this word, because this is the way we are supposed to be church.
That's great. And there are different language groups that were invited, right? Like it wasn't just...
Yes. Yes, we had sessions in Spanish and in English, our listening sessions. And then our survey was in six different languages. So we had Polish, Korean, Vietnamese, Portuguese, Spanish, and English.
Oh.
So yeah, so we had that in six languages. And then of course, we asked all of our parishes to do listening sessions. So we have parishes that have multiple languages. So some parishes also had listening sessions in different languages as well.
To mirror what their parish community looks
like. Say that one more time.
To mirror what their parish
yes.
community looks like.
Exactly. Exactly.
Oh, okay. That's awesome. So a lot of people, a lot of voices. And now that we're entering the implementation stage, perhaps people will be reinvigorated or
yes.
be part of who might have thought, well, I participated in a thing in my parish and then nothing or what happens next, right?
Yes. Yeah. I would say that for me was really one of the wonderful outcomes of the Jubilee is I, even for myself, re-energized for the next steps of the Synod, you know, because it's such a big project because we're just looking at what we have and trying to modify it. But yeah, so no, I feel much more excited like for the next phases after that, the Jubilee and the celebration that we had there.
I do think one of the takeaways that I, from the entire process that was really sort of solidified at the Jubilee celebration is that when you think of a project, you do think of an end product, that there's a widget or a thing that you have to show for it. And in the case of synodality, it's really more about our way of proceeding. So we talked a lot at the Jubilee about how has this changed individual approaches to how you do your ministry. So in my case, on a personal level, that idea of we were trained in this form of listening in the spirit, and it's a way to have a meeting where you listen to what everybody has to say without responding at all. You just listen, open your heart, do some discernment. And I have really tried to do that in what I'm doing.
Okay.
And it's difficult because for me, like, we joke about how when we have a meeting, there's an agenda and we're going to decide this and we're going to do that and we're going to do the other thing. And this process really is about slowing that down to let the Holy Spirit in to have some discernment. And that, I think, again, at the Jubilee, hearing how other people have integrated this idea of really listening to everyone, even people on the margins, even people who may not understand your work, is helpful in discerning what is the right next step.
Oh, that's great. I'm just going to tell my editor that I am discerning and I'm listening for the Holy Spirit, so my deadline is going to be blown.
Yes, I'm hearing what you're saying.
No, that's great. That's great. So it sounds like so for either one of so the process or the success of this is twofold. One, there might some sort of there's an implementation plan that you spoke about, Jenny.
Yes.
But also there's a change in or a mindset in how the church kind of dialogues with each other. As you said, Maureen, did I understand that correctly?
Cardinal Gretsch talked about, and then the Pope emphasized, that the process of synodality is a call to constant conversion.
Mm.
And we talk about how our lives are a call to conversion. So this is, again, when you talk about conversion, you talk about you hear something and the Holy Spirit changes you and you have an internal conversion. Mm. So again, it's this opportunity to really, instead of, you know, I have all this data in front of me and I'm going to read the data and make a decision, mm-hmm. but that you include the Holy Spirit into that process and you include all the voices who may be impacted by this decision you're making.
Mm. That's awesome.
Yeah, I would say even in our experience here at the Archdiocese, I feel like we grew in our understanding of synodality because I'm the planning and research numbers girl, right? So that's how I got pulled into this, because we were thinking of this like doing a survey consultation, like a business consultation of let's get the majority opinion. That's actually not what we're doing. We're getting all this input and we're praying and we're asking as a group, what is the Holy Spirit asking us to elevate? So it's... Even our team, I feel like we're growing and deepening our understanding of synodality the more time we spend on it.
But your skills were a tool to help that process.
For sure. For sure. Mm-hmm. Yes. But at the tables, what we ask people to do is to discern. So you hear from 8 different people. And what is the one thing that you think the Holy Spirit is asking you to bring to the large group? And sometimes that's not, well, 5 people said this. It's, well, the Holy Spirit is like this one person's story. Maybe they were divorced and they felt excluded from the church. And maybe that was the one story that they wanted to share with the large group. So that's where it's not just a majority speaks. It is a discernment.
And everyone listening to that person's experience.
Yes.
And taking it to heart.
And then our heart growing as a result of that.
Hmm. That's awesome.
So... An encounter with Pope Leo was part of the Rome experience. Can you share what he had to say and how it touched you all?
Sure. It was really lovely to be there with him. He speaks a lot of languages. So the different continents all had a representative that shared some of their experiences and they were able to ask a question. And so typically they would speak in a language that they knew that the Pope could speak, and then he would respond to them in that language. And you could tell he was sitting there listening and taking notes and creating his answer there. Like he was listening there. He didn't have it ahead of time to respond. And so one of the most interesting things, or you could tell he was so touched, was when he talked about Laudato Si and our movement to kind of care for the earth. He had recently had a conversation with the bishop who his country is going to be gone in 50 years that he's a bishop of. And so it's very easy for us here in this land of privilege and of plenty to not think about the realities of what's happening to our environment. And it's only when you encounter people and you see their pain that you know that this is an immediate action. Even though it doesn't maybe impact me immediately, it is an immediate issue. And so we can hear these urgent cries for help and for support through these conversations and these encounters that we have with our brothers and sisters.
Maureen, can you tell us maybe a little bit about the trip, kind of like how you all spent your days? And it seems like you were in some meetings or something, and then maybe a little reflection on
Sure.
Leo.
So Jenny and I decided to go a few days early so that we could adjust, you know, to the time change and all of those things. So we did do a little bit of touristy things, and that was very fun. Jenny learned about me that... what did you say? I vacation hard.
Yes. So the itineraries were robust.
They were a little full.
More than just a gelato stop.
Exactly.
There were gelato stops.
There were.
But for the actual Jubilee, we were invited to take the pilgrimage through the Holy Door. So as a group, about 1,400 people from around the world gathered in St. Paul the Sixth Hall, which itself is just a very amazing place. And by pilgrimage, we mean it was just a little walk, maybe about 10 or 15 minutes. But we walked through the crypts of the popes and came out the side of the Vatican and came around the front, came in the Holy Door and had a prayer service, a little words scripture service to start the process. And then just a day full of workshops with people from around the world doing the same work you were doing. And the workshops had a number of different themes. I attended one on the role of women in the church, and then the role of sort of building and expanding synodal processes. Jenny was went to a workshop for the Synod leaders from around the world. So she got to hear from team leaders all over the world how did they roll out their Synod? What did they learn? What worked, what didn't, that kind of thing. And then at the end of that day, there was a Marian prayer service. And the following day, we did get to go to Mass at St. Peter's. And we had preferred seating, and that was such a privilege and a gift. And I did forget, the first night was the night that we had our audience with Pope Leo. So that was the night that Cardinal Gretsch gave an address to just talk about the Synod and what's next and what has happened so far, and representatives from all the continents got to ask the Pope a question. And again, the beautiful sort of Pentecostal moment of all these different languages, all these different people. We had to download an app to our phone that is specific to the Vatican, and you brought your own earbuds or headphones, and they had translators, and you could kind of see them up in the window, live translating. So if the speaker wasn't speaking in English or Spanish or Italian, they had people who would translate directly into your ear. What people were saying. And that was very, it was very amazing, again, to have that moment where the church is this whole world.
Yeah.
And just, again, seeing and meeting people from all over the world react to the message of the Pope and react to the message of synodality and challenge the church to pay attention to climate change and all of these things that are happening in other countries around the world.
Oh, it's very powerful.
That is cool.
And others from the Archdiocese joined you all as well. Can you tell us who?
Sure. Yeah. Yolanda Munoz, she's our Director of Hispanic Ministries. She went there with us. We had Ashley Morris, and he is the Director of our Black Catholic Ministries. And his wife also came as a representative, I think, for the U.S.
Association of U.S. Priests.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So it was wonderful to be there with our whole team there.
So a good local contingency.
Mm-hmm.
That's fantastic. I know you had an experience that you shared with me, Maureen, in the hallway while standing in line. That kind of spoke to the spirit of synodality.
Yes. So you have to stand in a lot of security lines to get into the Vatican. And one morning before our pilgrimage, we had to stand in a very long line. It was about a 45-minute security line. And in front of us was a group from the Philippines, and we were chatting with them. And behind us were two bishops from Australia and a couple of other members of their team. So waiting 45 minutes, chatting with everyone, having a lovely visit. And we got up to the front. You could see the X-ray machine from where we were, maybe about 10 people from the entrance. And the Swiss guard noticed the bishops and started waving at us. And one of the sisters from the Philippines who was in front of us thought they were waving at her. So she went over to ask what it was they wanted. And they said, "We're not waving at you. We're waving at the bishops behind you." And so I said to the bishops, "I think you're being summoned by the Swiss guard." And the guard said, "You don't have to go through the X-ray machine. You can just come in because we know who you are." And the bishop turned to us and said, "Well, that wasn't a very synodal moment, now was it?"
How good of him to recognize.
Yes. And he did decide not to enter. He went through the security line with us. I mean, we were all the way up at the front. And he said, I just don't feel like I was going to stand in line with all these good people for 45 minutes and then not go through the security process.
Take a shortcut.
That's cool.
That's
cool.
Good, though. That speaks to perception that of others' experience. And
yeah. It was heartening for me to see how many bishops attended this Jubilee and spoke about their experience of Synod in their different churches. The guys from Australia, there was a bishop from Lithuania who talked in a workshop about his experience of how communism impacted the church there. Bishop from England, I think. And that was just really nice to see not only lay people who led teams, but also bishops and chancellors and people who are in higher leadership positions to be there to share their experience as well.
I really did feel like they were part of us. You know, we work here at the chancery with the bishops, but they're still our bosses. So this was the first time where I felt like I was encountering bishops as people, as brothers in Christ. And we were on this mission together. So that was actually pretty cool. I mean, just like even like going out to eat, we would meet a bishop and they'd come over and say hi to us. So just really wonderful to have that experience as a lay person and seeing our common mission.
Yeah. Which is really the goal
exactly.
of the whole thing.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. And it really has a flavor of Pope Francis still very much, even though we have a new pope, that his whole thing was to remind us that we are all the church, and the goal of this is to fulfill the role of being missionaries and giving witness to Christ.
Yes, and a really beautiful thing about Pope Leo is that he still refers to Pope Francis. So when he would talk to us about synodality, he would refer us back to Pope Francis. And so you could definitely see like the cohesion and the fact that like he is following in Francis's footsteps in his own way, but still with deference to Pope Francis's desires with this.
And I think both Pope Francis and Pope Leo served in a place where there is a highly marginalized community, and they served with people who are who were poor, who were impacted by sort of empire building and all of this kind of stuff, and climate change. And I think you can feel reflected in the pontificate this idea that, again, the church should be focusing on the poor, the marginalized, the people who need us. And if we have advantage, we should be turning that to advantage for all and not sort of keeping it to ourselves.
Where can the average Atlanta Catholic learn more about this whole process?
Right.
And what's coming next?
Sure. Well, we do have a wonderful website right now with some formation resources and information. And there is so much available. The Synod has a wonderful website. And then they have a resources page attached to their website where you can go, and there are other organizations that have put together PowerPoints explaining synodality. Or one thing that we shared with the parishes are reimagining pastoral councils through synodal lens. So those are just free resources on the internet that you could find, you could bring to your pastor and see if he'd be interested in kind of taking this approach within those meetings.
I think one of the conversations that we had there, we heard from people who were in communities where they felt like the synod was not as welcomed as other places. And so we talked about what does it mean and how do you explain it better. And one of the best explanations I heard was that the synod is not about taking authority away from any one group and giving it to another. It is more about, again, hearing all the voices. And so there is one of the priests I met from Austria spoke about, again, there's co-responsibility. This goes back to this idea that as Catholics, we are all co-responsible for the mission of the church, for the life of the church, for evangelization, for personal conversion, for conversion of the world. And I liked this idea that each of us can learn a little bit more about conversations in the spirit, or listening to people on the margins, or looking at what resonated with you rather than the majority voice, and make that part of your everyday process, not just in church, but in all of your decision making. So I do think Jenny's right. If you can look at these resources and prayerfully and thoughtfully read them and think about how does this resonate with me and what can I do as part of it, that advances synodality in general.
Jenny, you had mentioned something about an implementation plan. I mean,
yes.
Is there an actual plan here that is affiliated with the Archdiocese of Atlanta that people who participated in the synods 2 or 3 years ago now can go read and see what has risen to the surface?
So the implementation plan I'm referring to is the one from the General Secretariat of the Synod of Bishops.
Okay.
So it's a companion to the final document. The final document is like 70 pages. It's pretty brutal, but it's also beautiful. If you can read it, I recommend it. If you can't, go to the Synod Resources webpage and get the takeout version. Okay. So they exist. Yeah, so where people tried to pull things out and put it together. So the implementation plan was just published this summer. So actually, one of our next steps to do here in the Archdiocese is to get the Synod team back together to reflect on the final document again, because we did that a while ago, but to reflect on it with this companion pathways for the implementation document and figure out what it is that we're going to do here next. So you'll just have to stay tuned for that.
Do you feel through the whole process you know your fellow Catholics better and know Catholics better from around the world? It must be a very just powerful experience.
Yes, that was that's all that energy I'm talking about coming from the Jubilee is going there, hearing from people from all over the world and seeing the similarities, but also the differences. And just fueled that we're all, despite all of our differences, we're united in a common mission. So just very beautiful.
I would like to share that you have written a beautiful reflection on your experience that will be featured in our latest issue, the November 13th issue. And readers can also find that online. So I thank you for collaborating with the Georgia Bulletin on that.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity.
Can I just ask one question before we round up? And I was hoping, we sort of talked about Pope Leo. We talked about sort of the corridors of the Vatican and the streets and restaurants of Rome. But for folks who might be listening who, attend Mass here in the Archdiocese, what would you want them to know, right? Like what could they do to live out synodality, in their own parish, in their own parish community? Is that something that was discussed or what might happen next? Like, it's very 35,000 feet,
yes.
But how do we kind of put it to the folks in the pews? Mm-hmm. Any thoughts?
I would say two things. To start with formation, and if you're not a reader, there's lots of wonderful interviews online as well, with YouTube. Cardinal Radcliffe and the Pope have done some interviews. So formation. So learn about synodality. Try to understand the goals of it and how it would work in the church, but then also for yourself to focus on developing a listening heart at your parish, to reach out to your neighbors, to ask them about themselves and to listen without judgment, to listen to understand them and without even having a response, but just to grow that way and to form those relationships. And if there are listening sessions at your parish, certainly I encourage you to attend, even if you're feeling a little bit skeptical. I think you're going to find that the experience is worthwhile.
So during one of our workshops, there was a group that was very frustrated because they did feel like their bishop wasn't doing enough. Mm. And they were saying, what do we do? How do we convince him? Do we storm the office? What do we do? And one of the other bishops there said, my advice to you is to start by loving him first and seeing where he's coming from and all of these things. And again, as Jenny said, develop that listening heart. Take things to prayer and listen for where the Holy Spirit is. Listen for that. What's resonating with you? When you talk to me, what resonates with you? If I'm feeling angry, stop for a moment and ask the Holy Spirit, say, I'm feeling this anger. I'm going to feel it. I'm going to process it. Why? Where is this coming from? So developing that listening heart without making a decision until you've taken something to prayer.
That could be good advice for Thanksgiving dinner around with your in-laws or with your family. But that's great. Thank you. Thanks very much. That's awesome.
Yes, thank you both so much. And there's we could probably do two podcasts on the synod and synodality, but I know we'll be sharing some additional stories and additional thoughts, like I said, in the print edition of the Georgia Bulletin and online. So thank you both for being here.
Great.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you also to the listeners of Bearing Light. Find episodes on the Georgia Bulletin website, YouTube, and your favorite podcast platforms the first and third Mondays of each month. The print edition of the Georgia Bulletin is published bi-weekly, featuring news in English and Spanish. In between print issues, stay updated with our e-newsletters in both languages and by visiting georgiabulletin.org. Also, find us on Facebook and Instagram.